Hi, everyone, and welcome to the COVID-19 Vaccine Show, the number one COVID-19 vaccine show in the world, podcast in the world. And I'm excited to welcome the host, Dr. Mark Hayden. Dr. Mark, what's going on? We always want to go into the Q&A. It's very interesting. I go into the comment sections, and the divisiveness of just having a show like this that gives another option, an oral vaccine, breaks down the vaccine in a way that we do not attack the mRNA vaccine, but still any other information other than the mRNA vaccine, and it causes a lot of chaos, a lot of interruption. And as PBS, as I had a comment a couple of days ago promoting the show on PBS, a lot of people were very angry and wanted to fight just because the only answer is the Pfizer Moderna vaccine, nothing else.
You know, it's a, if we look at the track history of this pandemic, it's not very good. If you remember last year, they closed nursing homes. The people in nursing homes died anyway. Only very sadly, they died without their family members being able to visit them. If I had my mother or my grandmother in a nursing home last year and wasn't able to see her in her final days, I wouldn't have been a happy camper. There's been no proof that isolating these people in the long run protected them. You know, this idea that the CDC is somehow going to take away your rights and guarantee you that you're going to live a day longer is hogwash. First of all, they don't have a guarantee that they're going to have you live a day longer. And if you'll notice on any guarantees you get in the United States, make sure you get it in writing. Recently, within the past year, the vaccines came out. We had been on this show, and what we had told people was that the vaccines would not stop transmissibility. Do you remember us saying that last year?
Yes.
Did anybody else, Neil, in the whole world that you heard in the media tell people before us that the vaccines would not affect stop transmission?
We broke that down. No one.
Yeah. You know, now we've had the CDC director admit, guess what? It doesn't stop transmissibility. Now, the argument is that if it doesn't stop transmissibility, why are we threatening to fire healthcare workers who refuse to get a vaccine? Remember, when they get the vaccine, it's not going to affect whether they transmit or not.
Exactly.
Now, if you're a healthcare worker working for the last year and a half in healthcare, taking care of sick people, do you think there's really a chance that you did not get exposed to COVID? What do you think, Neil?
No, there's not.
In fact, you could say, Neil, if I stuck you on the North Pole for the last 24 months, you would not have been exposed to COVID in the air. Okay. So if nobody visited you at the North Pole and you were totally isolated, you would not have had any COVID-19 exposure. But if you were a healthcare worker, you likely were exposed. So you probably already had some degree of natural exposure. Now, the failure of the CDC so far is to demonstrate a cheap, low-cost test where people could prove whether they have immunity or not. That's not been done by the CDC. And that's one of the technical things that needs to be done. But to fire people that are healthcare workers when you're not going to change their transmissibility by giving them a vaccine, isn't that just an insult to them? Now, remember last year, you remember calling all those people in healthcare heroes?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're heroes last year, but they're people that get kicked to the street this year. Yeah. I mean, what does that teach you about your society? You know, it's all about power. It's about money.
Right.
It's control of conversation, control of the narrative. And I wish, and you know, we were hoping that the internet would give us more freedom of speech. Didn't we hope that, Neil?
Right. And it's not.
It's not. Because now most of the media takes money to reach people through these organized channels like Facebook, Twitter. They're going to find a ways to lock you out if they don't like your message. And that's it. It's sad.
Now, let's kind of jump right quick into this in more detail of some questions. We talked about on another one of our programs that you came on a radio show with Wynn Henderson about another. It's, do you consider it an oral vaccine or you consider it more like HCQ or ivermectin with the one that you can take as an oral that's coming out? You don't consider that an oral vaccine, do you?
No, you're talking about the Merck?
Merck, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the Merck may very well be highly successful at reducing mortality. And, you know, Merck, I think, is a we know there's a huge difference there because the hurdles that you have to clear for FDA approval are much tighter and more stringent than emergency use authorization through the CDC. And the FDA tends to be a much less biased, much more protections are built in against conflict of interest. So the FDA system, I think, is a non-emergent system, which is very good for the approval of drugs. And, you know, I haven't looked at all the Merck data, and so I can't give you an expert opinion on Merck. And, you know, like a lot of things, there's, I got to tell you, when I'm not an expert on Merck, I'm not an expert on Merck, but Merck is not an oral vaccine. There are other oral vaccines coming out in Israel.
Right. Vaxart
is Vaxart is working on an oral vaccine. So both of those are very interesting.
Now, you know, with the Merck, and I know you're not an expert in Merck, but it's more of a prophylactic, like even probably like mRNA is a prophylactic. It's not a vaccine because a vaccine stops the spread of transmissibility, doesn't it?
They did in the past. They did in the past. And the reasons why we had vaccines were that these vaccines were, even if you look at an aerosol, which was measles, measles was spread by aerosol. It was said that you had to have 90% of the population vaccinated to stop the spread of measles. Now Biden gets on TV and he said, what, 98% of people got to get vaccinated or 98.9, some crazy number. Is he trying to say that COVID-19 will mutate into a form that's so transmissible, it'll be the most transmissible virus in the history of the world, much more transmissible than measles ever was? Now, that may well be true, but he needs to be candid. And see, one of the things you're not getting from the CDC is if data doesn't fit their plan, they just don't tell you about it. You know, when Henderson last year are talking about that it won't affect transmission, do you really believe that privately the CDC wasn't also discussing, you know, we've looked at what Dr. Hayden does and we agree with him that it won't affect transmission, but we won't tell people that because we want them to get vaccinated.
Right.
They have to know a lot of these things, Neil. They just don't tell people. And you see, when I do stuff like that, if I did that stuff like that as a physician, if I withheld information that was critical to decision-making, I could get sued as a physician. But guess what? These vaccines are not prescribed. We've taken the physicians out of the picture. And not just did you take the physicians out, you took the medical legal consequences, meaning that the CDC, they're immune from prosecution. You can't prosecute them criminally. You can't prosecute them civilly. They're above the law. In fact, I guess you could say Fauci has outlasted the president. I mean, to me, it's kind of mind-boggling that Trump's gone, but Fauci's still there, right?
Well, but he can, because I guess they just want to look at this. Now, looking at the booster, we didn't talk about that last week, you know, President Biden taking the booster on national television and the thought process. I thought that it came out that did the World Health Organization say that there was no need for a booster at this point?
Let's talk about Biden taking a booster, okay? If I looked at Biden and I said, hey, Biden, how old is Biden now? Y'all got, what's the guess? 80?
I think something around there, yeah.
Okay. He's pushing 80, right? Gotta be.
Okay.
Anyway, you can look it up on Wikipedia. Biden is a old guy. His immune system is very slow, okay? I didn't comment about his cognitive powers. I'm just talking about his immunity, okay? Is it safe for very old people to take a booster? Because their immune system is so slow, they're not likely to have the same degree of hypersensitivity as a younger person. That is very different than telling an 18 or 19 year old, very fit person who's very healthy in their 30s or 20s to take a booster. Have you seen a single person who is young take 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7 rounds of boosters? I think the maximum rounds of boosters so far on Pfizer or Moderna is what? 3 now?
Right.
Is there more than 3 boosters?
I think so. I've not heard about how many, you know.
How well people tolerate that booster is dependent largely on how sensitive their immune system is. And the younger people are more likely to have a bigger reaction. Now there was, have you heard of the Lieutenant Colonel who wanted the pilots grounded because some of the pilots have had very adverse reactions?
No, I have not heard about that yet.
If you Google that, here's one of the things you're likely to find. A lieutenant colonel who is a physician, she begins to note that these people who are pilots, who are in outstanding health, who are in the prime of their health, begin to have serious reactions. Wait. There's a reason for that. If you're in the prime of your health and you've already had exposure in the community, your system may be already sensitized to any type of intramuscular or IV exposure. If you're an old, worn out, I shouldn't use the term, I'm almost 60 myself, okay? But if you've got a real dull, slow, elderly, aged immune system, you're not likely to be very sensitive to it. And you could probably tolerate many more boosters than some young person. And the healthier a young person is, if they've already had a lot of exposure, they may have a bigger reaction to a booster. Now, are all boosters wrong? Absolutely not. Is a doctor wrong if he recommended, hey, get a booster? No. I mean, as long as it's allowed, you know, technically there are no prescription. You don't need a prescription from a doctor. A doctor will get in more trouble by opening his mouth.
Right. So who said that the booster was not needed in the United States? Was that the FDA or WHO?
Let me tell you, the World Health, the FDA has said right now that boosters are okay and they're reasonable for people that are elderly, that's older than 65, or that have at high risk. If they're at high risk, they have immune deficiency. The other class that might be at high risk is this. Let's say, Neil, we stuck you at the North Pole for the last 24 months. You had no exposure to COVID. You would be a high-risk person. Mm-hmm. So if you take somebody who is very isolated for a very long time, even though they might be middle-aged, they could be classified as high risk, mm-hmm. even if they didn't have, you know, HIV or some immune disease.
Right. What's the CDC? What does the CDC say about boosters?
You know, the CDC in general, they give the rubber stamp to the big pharmaceuticals, but then they are not in the position that they don't have the same regulatory standards as the FDA. And, you know, the FDA has been around for decades and they weren't foolproof. There's a lot of things that slip through the FDA, but at least the FDA tries and does a better job than the CDC.
Right.
The CDC got its power because, hey, guess what? We're going to declare it all a national emergency. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And watch out for the emergencies. That's right. because your rights get taken away in an emergency.
All right, so we're going into the winter time. I mean, fall's coming and all these different things, and they're talking about the flu is going to come back hard, and you have the flu and COVID. I forget what it was called. They're already pushing. Do you see lockdowns coming?
You know, if we look at Sweden, Sweden didn't have a bunch of lockdowns. They're not going to have lockdowns. I don't see lockdowns coming in Sweden, but unfortunately, the powers that be are going to do whatever's in the best interest of the powers that be. And if they think that that will increase their control, some of the countries right now, one of the countries that had the longest lockdown is Australia. Isn't that right?
Right.
Australia did all these lockdowns under the cover or the allegation that they wanted to protect the Australian people. Wasn't that their cover? Didn't they say that? Wasn't that the excuse? Then Australia decides to take and get nuclear submarines. How is that consistent with wanting to protect the Australian people? So Australia wants to make its population a target in a nuclear war, so it's going to get nuclear submarines. But then it's going to tell the same people in the same breath, we're going to lock you down because all this is for your good.
So do you see the U.S. locking down or just certain states locking up?
I think that the governors in the different states that are responsive, the small business, they're going to stay responsive to the people. We used to have healthcare run on a local level. That it used to be state run. Remember, you had to have a state license. You remember that, Neil, right? State license. Mm-hmm. And there was some advantages about having local healthcare guidelines, local medical societies, local medical people. There were some real advantages in that. And there's many dedicated state health directors.
Right.
We don't have a national database of healthcare information, which is tragedy. Because what we need is one electronic medical records for the entire country. So that whether you get lab work or x-ray, it's available nationwide all the time. Anyway, unfortunately, the government is trying to centrally control the government through the CDC, which is a highly political organization, is trying to politicize this and trying to expand their authority. Many of the governors that are Republican oppose it. And one of the things you're going to see happening, Neil, is, did you know that some of the states with the highest vaccination rates are also where they're getting the biggest increases in COVID? Did you know that?
No, I did not know.
Look at the rate in Maine and in Vermont. This idea that you are going to lock down people, not give them a promise of anything in return, not be held to your statements, have no sense of responsibility. So, ignore your local physicians and the role in which your local physicians and your local medical people can provide.
So do you think it's a good idea or bad idea to lock down?
You know, under the current conditions now, certainly it's a bad idea. There could be a variant. Now, I will say this, Neil. I have talked on this show. The pathology that we see in COVID tends to be about the same, even in the new variants. In other words, even in the new variants, people don't die until about 14th, 15th, 16th day of exposure. If there is a mutation that it produces a toxin, that might change to just a few days, and the mortality rate could go from 1 in 1,000, maybe as high as, we don't want to speculate, but much, 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 much higher. We as a country should be focusing on having Zoom meetings. We should be converting into autonomous farming, being able to do everything. We don't need to all meet. We need to meet on Zoom. We need to have high quality Zoom meetings. The day in which I should drive in a car to meet people, breathe in their face, that should come to an end. We are not going to get COVID out of the air. It's going to be around. So let's learn to live with COVID existing in the environment. Let's be able to run a farm. Let's be able to get our jobs done and have safer, cleaner air by having less exposure to each other in close circumstances. Now, Neil, are you there?
Yes.
About 4 or 5 months ago, I think I told you I was coming out with some stuff, didn't I?
Yes.
You know, in some ways, I should apologize because I don't get around to everything on my bucket list. I know my days are numbered, but there's a lot of important things I want to do that I still don't get around to. Do you have a bucket list, Neil?
Yeah, I'm starting that bucket list now for sure.
Realize, Neil, you know, your days are numbered.
Right.
And, you know, when you see your kids, you're not guaranteed you're going to see them next year. They may be gone. You may be gone.
Right.
Encourage them to do the important things. You have those important moments with them.
Yes.
Because that time will be gone. Your time will be gone.
Right.
Before you know it.
So do you have something coming up, Mark?
Yes. You know, and once again, I actually paid for the patent application, never got around to it. I have not filled it out. But yes, I think it will be a huge contribution. And I think that we'll be able to cover it on this show.
Great.
So I think hopefully, God willing, if God wills, hopefully within a month, I can actually demonstrate some of that. We can go over that and we can shift our talk, not just to vaccine and oral vaccine, but to the new development of preventing exhalation of virus. And I think that when you see that, it will be a mind blower for you. Well, I guess that's the right term.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it will be much more effective than masks and help keep our air clean, even in the age of COVID.
And because everyone gets to listen to the podcast, the videos have been suppressed by YouTube. So we're moving to Vimeo on the Neil Haley Show. So now, from now on, our videos will be only available on Vimeo. We will not promote YouTube for the COVID-19 vaccine show because they are pro pharma that does not want a message like this to go out. So that's going to be a new update. So guys, check it out. All the social media embedding, we're going to all put it on Vimeo because YouTube has the right to take it down. Vimeo doesn't. So you always end the show. You kind of already kind of with a thought. So tell us the thought.
You know, when you live in life, all the people, sooner or later, you die, I die, Neil. We're walking dead men. It's just a matter of time before both you and I die. And all the people that we love will someday die. We have to accept our death. You know, I'm not a righteous person. Have I ever claimed, told you, Neil, I'm a good person?
No, you never have.
Have I ever said I'm a righteous dude?
No.
So I don't claim to be any kind of righteous person. Correct. Right? I mean, I just want to go on the record for that.
That's all correct. Right?
All right. So, you know, if we look, are you still there with me?
Yeah, I am still, Mark. Yes.
If you look in Matthew chapter 31, Jesus points to the sparrows. Do you like sparrows, Neil?
Yes, I like birds in all certain ways. Yeah.
Let me tell you, around, I've seen a lot of birds, and these sparrows, they're real small, but they got a really brave heart. They will chirp, chirp, chirp and jump all around, and you'll see a big, ugly black bird, and they'll get up around that black bird. And a lot of times the sparrows will like chase it off. They got a heart of gold. They're courageous. They're wonderful. I love sparrows because sparrows are small, but they're fierce. What kind of dog you like, Neil?
I'm a Golden Retriever fan.
I'm a Chihuahua fan. You know, here's what about Chihuahua. I got two Chihuahuas.
Okay.
What I like about Chihuahuas is they're real, real small, but they got this attitude like they're this huge, big dog, right? Okay. And they bark away. Well, sparrows are kind of like that for bird family. Okay. They're courageous. They're tiny. But God said that if you look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 31, that God knows when the sparrows fall. There was an article I sent you, Neil, and it was on that the gut was like a second brain. Do you remember that article I sent to you? Mm-hmm. Your intestinal tract has as much neurons as a dog's brain or as a cat brain. And cats and dogs can be pretty smart. They can have their own personality. Right. You ever had a cat with a personality or a dog with personality?
Yes. I know definitely cats and dogs with certain personalities. Yeah.
Well, you know, you can have as many neurons in your intestinal tract as a dog has in its brain. And there's a great, if you'll Google, I think Your Gut, Your Second Brain, I think was the article. Anyway, if you Google that, it's a great video. It shows how complex the intestinal processing system is and how it's regulated by all these neurons and how all these neurons are very difficult to understand. God has so many plans, and his wisdom and his understanding of things is far greater than anything I could ever understand or you could understand. Mm-hmm. If you're alive today, Neil, and you are alive, and I'm alive,
right?
It's not because of Pfizer and Moderna. It's not because of the CDC. If the United States exists today, it's not because communism was stopped by the Vietnam War, because the Vietnam War was lost, wasn't it?
Right. Yes, it was.
Yeah. So we're alive today because it was God's will. We want to love people. We want to love our family and love our children, even love our enemies. But we're all going to die. All of us. I have an appointed day to die. I'm not going to live in fear. When the government wants you, it's one thing for you to submit to a shot. And there's nothing wrong. Look, anyone in the audience who takes a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, knowing that they may have a severe reaction, but they're willing to do it anyway, just to keep their job so that they can feed their family or donate to a charity. I respect that person. Okay. So Neil, if you got friends who take a vaccine just to keep their job, even though they're worried about it, even if they have a very sad reaction, I like those people because they were willing to sacrifice.
Right.
For their family, for the things they believed in.
That's correct.
And so, you know, people got to do what they got to do. But it doesn't mean that they're going to add one day to their life or one, turn their hair white or black.
Right.
As Jesus said. And so thank God for all your blessings. And one of the things we've done in the U.S. that have been really sad is when the government of the United States provokes fear, bad things start to happen.
Right.
You remember during the Vietnam War, they said, oh, the commies are going to come and they're going to send you to hell because you're all going to give up on religion. That was the thing during the Vietnam War. You got to kill the godless communists. Do you remember that, Neil?
Yes, but I wasn't alive, but I remember reading.
Yeah, but that was the story back in the 60s.
Right.
Guess what? You know, I don't blame anybody who fought in the Vietnam War. My dad fought in the Vietnam War. I love my dad. I love my aunts and uncles and anybody who contributed to Air Force. They're my kind of people.
Right.
I like people in the Air Force. I don't care whether they did what they had to do, what they thought they had to do.
Exactly.
You know? So, but when the government tells you that you've got to do horrible things to other people and that it'll all be justified in the end, be very skeptical. The U.S. invaded Afghanistan. There were tens of thousands of people killed, and heroin production, which had been stamped out, was brought back bigger than ever.
Right.
Then, you know what saved the Taliban was that fentanyl came along, and fentanyl really put heroin production out of business because fentanyl was much more sellable than heroin.
Okay.
Our overdose deaths, how many overdose deaths were there in 2020, Neil?
I have no idea. How many?
93,000.
Okay.
Now, what was the average age you would guess of an OD? Just guess.
18.
No. A lot of them were middle-aged. These were people that, really? You know, they got their hands on a little bit of fentanyl. Really? A lot of them were 30 to 40 years old. And in fact, if you'll pull it up, you can Google it. And you'll see that the average age of life that people died, a lot of these, some of them were young. Some of them were 18. 30, 40, right. But they were young and middle-aged people. They lost on average probably 30 years off their life expectancy.
Right.
Now, how many people died of COVID in 2020?
I don't know the answer. Well, how many?
In the United States, there were probably about 500,000. Probably about five times as many as OD in 2020. Okay. Now, here's the difference, though, Neil. The people that were overdosing, they lost 30 years off their life expectancy. The people that died of COVID only lost sometime 2, 3, 4, 5 years off their life expectancy.
Right.
That life expectancy did not change that much based on COVID.
Right.
What was sad is there was so much depression.
Right.
You, regardless of how bad things get in our country, you want to love the people that are special to you.
Right.
You want to be able to hold their hand, talk to them. You want to be able to share a glass of water with them. Share a glass of water with a child, even if the child has COVID. Guess what? World Health Organization says you can't get COVID from water, so don't worry about drinking after them. That's right. But at any rate, love people and realize your days are numbered. And thank God for all your blessings. Y'all have a wonderful day. And I want to ask your audience to pray for the Neil Haley Show. And I want you to pray for Neil's family and for my family and pray for me. Pray not that I will live one day longer. People, I don't deserve one extra day. What I need to do is make the most of every day. Help me to have meaningful moments with my children, my wife, my family, my friends, and pray for Neil. And hey, be a friend. When you see people that are hopeless, don't let them drown in despair. Tell them God loves them and give them something. Maybe it's a glass of water. Maybe it's an orange. Maybe it's whatever.
Okay.
But reach out. Don't give up on love, because in the end, when you look back at your life, it's the love that you received, not the number of vaccinations that counted.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. That was again, the COVID-19 vaccine show, guys. Take care.